good God. I don't know what you're going through, but I'm here to tell you God's good. Tell you never, God's good. Tell the person behind you, God's good. Turn around again and say, God's good. God's good. All the time. And all the time. And you're good.
Sometimes.
Sometimes. Amen. Praise the Lord. Job chapter 1, verse 9. Grab your Bibles with me this morning.
Come on now.
Powerful worship. Amen. Come on, give the worship team a hand. Amen. Powerful worship. Amen. Beautiful song today. Brother Sean. Amen. Good song. Brother got down. Amen. And beautiful choir and just worship. Listen, if you want to be a part of the worship, amen, there's still room on the team. Amen. And so every Thursday they meet, amen, right here at 7. Amen. 7. Amen. And so if you want to come be a part of the singing, maybe you know how to play guitar. Amen. Maybe you know how to play the congas. Amen. I'm about to buy some congas and the guitar. Just put it up here. Amen. And whoever picks it up, praise God. Amen. Get a saxophone, amen. Praise God. How many of them want to see a whole band up here? We can have a choir, we can have a band. And you know, and so if you want to join the worship team, amen. Even if you say, I don't know, but I love music, I love to worship, then maybe the worship team's for you, amen. And you know, you can join the worship team, amen. Also, maybe you want to serve in the ushering or the greeting, amen. See Brother Angel, come up here real quick, amen. This is Brother Angel, amen, right here, and he's our head usher, amen. And so, you know, get with Brother Angel. He's a great, great leader, amen. He's a great in the ushering. He's good at what he does, amen. Good trainer, amen. So if you want to join the ushers team, amen, get with Brother Angel, amen. Right, Brother Angel? Amen. You need some help, right? All the time. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Brother Angel. So give with Brother Angel. Amen. If you want to help even with the ushers team, the greeters team, amen. And you can serve in the house of the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. There's room for you, amen, in the house of the Lord. Praise God. Amen. This morning, amen, I titled my message, Final Authority. Final Authority. Amen. And this morning, I want to talk to you about who has the final authority in our lives. We know the answer, amen, but I want to explain it through the scriptures here this morning. And I'm excited about this message. I hope that you're blessed, amen. Job chapter 1, starting in verse number 9, amen. Job chapter 1, starting in verse 9. And as you turn there, as you get there, also, I'm excited for next Sunday. I'm excited for our spiritual grandpapa coming, amen. Pastor Jesse, he's my pastor, me and my wife's pastor, amen. We sat under his ministry, under his, there in his church, amen, you know, for about, I got there in 2002, we got launched out in 2010, so I sat under my pastor for 8 years, amen. He poured himself into me, he preached, amen, and poured his heart out, and you know, and so we're very grateful. We love our pastors, and so they're going to be with us, amen, next Sunday. Praise the Lord, next Sunday. We're excited. They're going to be with us in both services, amen. In the 9 a.m. service, he's going to be sharing his testimony, amen. So if you might, I know that you just come to one service, but next Sunday might be a time you want to come to both services, amen, because he's going to be preaching two different messages, amen. On the 9 a.m. service, he's going to be giving his testimony. He has a powerful testimony, amen, him and his wife, Sister Valerie. And then and then in the 11 a.m. service, he's going to be preaching. Amen. He's going to be dropping it like it's hot. Amen. My pastor's a powerful preacher. Amen. If you like the way I preach, amen, then come see where the rock I've been cut from. Amen. Come see where I learned it from. Amen. And so I'm excited. Amen. For next Sunday. Invite somebody. Invite a family. Matter of fact, on today when you exit the doors, the ushers are going to be giving you a stack of flyers. Amen. A stack of 10 flyers. Amen. And if you'll do us a favor and pass those flyers out, give them to your family, your friends, your neighbors, amen, and invite them next Sunday to the house of the Lord, amen. And we want to see the house of God packed out, amen, as our spiritual grandfather, amen, praise the Lord, comes and ministers the word, amen. Are you there?
Amen.
Job chapter 1, verse 9, we're going to read through verse 12. Does Job fear God for nothing? Satan speaking here. Have you not put a hedge around him and his household and everything he has? You have blessed the work of his hands. Has God blessed the work of your hands? So that his flocks and herds are spread throughout the land.
But now, stretch out your hand and strike everything he has. You know the devil will always want to destroy what you got. And then he says, and he will surely curse you to your face. You know the devil will always slander your name. Verse 12. The Lord said to Satan, very well then, everything he has is in your power. But on the man himself, do not lay a finger. Father, bless the reading of your word this morning, anoint it to our lives. Father, I pray that you would use me here once again, God, to minister your word and to preach under your anointing, under your power, and under your unction here this morning, Father. Take full control, God. Let us be disciplined. Let our hearts be open to hear what the Spirit of God is saying to us here this morning. We love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name, everybody says, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Final authority. I want you to know that it is God that has the last word.
That's right.
God has the last say so. In the Old Testament, there are about 16 different names that God has given in the Old Testament. There's a study that you could do on the names of gods. El Shaddai, Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Nissi. And each one of these names, they describe an aspect of God, or they describe part of God. But one of the names that is given to God in the Old Testament is El Elyon. Say that with me here this morning. El Elyon. Let's get in sync here a little bit. Say El
Elyon.
Sounds good. Say it one more time. El
Elyon.
El Elyon. Now this name, when it is translated, it means the Most High God. Somebody say Most High.
Most High
God. That's what El Elyon means. It is first seen in the book of Genesis chapter 14 verse 18.
Yeah.
And as they put that verse there on the screen, hopefully. And it says this in Genesis 14, 18. It says, and Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine. Kind of like what we did here this morning. See, this is what you call a typology, a Christology.
Yeah.
This is a type and shadow of Christ. Because this is in the book of Genesis. Jesus has not been born into the world, even though he's with the Father in heaven.
Yeah.
Already through Melchizedek, God is showing us the future. He's showing the partridges. He's showing Abraham about what's going to take place in generations to come.
Yeah.
That there will be a man that comes and gives his body and sheds his blood for you and I.
Come on,
man. Some commentators, they call this verse, Genesis chapter 14, verse 18, a theophany.
Yeah.
In other words, it's a time where Jesus appeared in the Old Testament. Before the New Testament, Jesus appeared in the Old Testament.
Right.
And as he appears, he shows us, because they begin to say that this guy Melchizedek is really like Christ. Because he has no beginning and he has no end. In other words, when you study the characters in the Bible, it'll always tell you where they came from, or who was their parents,
on,
and
yeah.
how many years they lived, and how many years they were when they died.
Yeah.
But for Melchizedek, there is no such thing. It doesn't say whose his parents are. It doesn't say how many years he lived. And the Bible says he had no beginning and he had no end. He is like God. He has no beginning and has no end. Yeah. They say that this is a theophany. This is God appearing to man in the Old Testament. And here it says, Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine, and he was the priest, check this out, of the Most High God. The Most High God. Let's just think about that. Just think about that for a second. There is no one higher than God.
Right, amen. Right.
Nobody holds a higher position.
Amen.
Not Donald Trump, president.
Amen.
Not Queen Elizabeth.
Amen.
Not the guy from Russia, Putin. Right? Nobody holds a higher position. I don't care if there's any kings or queens in this world.
Amen.
He is the Most High God.
Right.
And being that he is the Most High God, that means the buck stops with him.
Wow.
He has the final authority.
Right. Amen.
This word El Elyon, or this name El Elyon, is a compound name or a compound word. El, or E-L-L, is another name that is translated as God. If you take the two letters E-L-L, in the Hebrew language, this is translated to mean the name of God.
Yeah.
And it can be used in conjunction with other words to designate various aspects of God's character. So when you add Elyon, Elyon literally means Most High. It expresses the extreme sovereignty of God. It expresses majesty, the majesty of God. And it also expresses his highest preeminence. So when the two words are combined, El Elyon, it can be translated as the Most Exalted God. The Most Exalted God. Even though there is no other God but him. Remember, he's talking in the Old Testament. And in the Old Testament, people had a lot of gods. Today, people still have a lot of gods. Today, people still have a lot of gods in this world. But we as Christians, we understand that, listen, they may be gods with a little g, but our God is a God with a big G, and he is the Most High God above any other thing that you call God. He is the Most High God. He is sovereign, he is majestic, and he holds the highest preeminence in my life because I call myself a believer, I call myself a Christian, and if you call yourself a believer and a son and a daughter of God, you should also hold him in the highest preeminence in your life. Holla if that's you here this morning. Holla if you say, that is me, Pastor. I hold God as sovereign, and I see God as a majestic king. He is the Alpha, he is the Omega, he is the beginning, he is the end, he is the soon coming king. He is the Lion of the tribe of Judah. He's the Lamb of God that was slain from the foundation of the earth. He is Jehovah Jireh, my provider. He is Jehovah Nissi, mighty in battle. He is my God. Somebody shout, my God.
My God.
Preeminence. Preeminence means the fact of surpassing all others. The fact, not opinion. It ain't my opinion. It is a fact, Jack. The fact of surpassing all others. See, the problem is that people have themselves as God in their life. The final authority is their word. They like that song in Spanish. Con dinero, sin dinero. Hago siempre lo que quiero. Mi palabra es la ley. Come on, somebody. Huh? Well, how many of you know that that's putting you as a little G God in your life? Huh? It should be that God has the final authority in our life. He holds superiority in our life. He's sovereign. He's a supreme ruler.
Right.
So what does this mean? It means God has the final say-so.
Amen.
I said God has a final say-so. Satan doesn't.
Come on, man. Amen.
Listen, we see it right here in the scripture that we read. Satan had to go to God for permission.
That's right.
Oh, come on, somebody.
Come on now.
Quit giving the devil too much power.
Whoa.
Quit giving the devil too much glory.
Come on.
Oh, the devil hit me, and the devil's messing with me, and the devil this, and the devil that. Quit giving the devil glory. Quit talking to good men. God has a final say-so. The Satan doesn't have the final say-so. Death doesn't have the final say-so. I said death doesn't have the final say-so. Because as a Christian, as a man of God, I believe to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. My last breath on earth will be my first breath in heaven. My last glance on earth will be my first glance at the pearly gates. My last breath here in this land will be my first breath in heaven. My last step on this dirty concrete of the world is my first step on the streets of gold. Death doesn't have the last word. It ain't over when you die. I said, it ain't over when you die. If you lost a loved one, it's not over for them. That's what you call the afterlife. And listen, nobody's in charge of the afterlife. Not Queen Elizabeth. Not Donald Trump. Not Xi Jinping. Not Vladimir Putin. No, the only one that has control of that is God Almighty. Death doesn't have the last word. Disease doesn't have the last word. Coronavirus doesn't have the last word. But LL Young does. When you go to the bank to try to get a house loan, the bank don't got the final word. LL Young does. When you go to the doc don't got the final word. LL Young does. When you stand before a judge, the judge doesn't have the final word. LL Young does. When you apply for that job or put in for that raise, the supervisor don't have the final word. LL Young does. Next time you're going through a hard time, a difficult time, and you're a child of God, just remember the Most High God. Remember El Elyon, the sovereign, Most High, final word, living God. Satan had to go get permission from God. Satan had to go get permission from El Elyon to even touch Job's stuff. Well, you ain't hearing me this morning. Satan had to get permission from God, from El Elyon, to even touch Job's stuff. You better get under God. You better get in God. You better serve God. And you're tired of the devil messing with your stuff. Listen, there are two people that can give Satan permission to access you and yours. Two people that can give the devil permission to access you and yours. Mm-hmm. The first one is El Elyon. I said El Elyon. Why? Because he's sovereign. He's sovereign. The second person that can give the devil permission is yourself. Huh? Yourself. You know why? Because you have free will. You have free will. Either two people give the devil permission, either it's God or it's yourself. I said either it's God or it's yourself. Huh? Because you got free will. You give Satan access and permission to you and yours when you open up the door of sin. When you open up the door to him through sin, you give the devil access to you and yours. When you open up the door of the occult, when you open up the door of witchcraft, when you open up the door to the Santa Muerte, when you begin to open up the door through reading your horoscope, oh yeah, I'm going to talk about it this morning. When you open up the door by going to a palm reader, when you open up the door by going to a curandera, oh come on somebody, you give the devil access to your life. You open up the door for Satan to come in and begin to mess with your mind and begin to mess with your heart and begin to mess with your marriage and begin to mess with your children. Tell your neighbor, shut the door. You also give the devil permission when you open up the door through drugs and alcohol. Through drugs and alcohol. Come on, somebody. I know some of you who have some bad trips. Huh? You had some bad trips. You're like, oh my God, there's somebody out there.
Yeah.
You're peeking through the window. I always feel like somebody's watching. Yeah, there were demons watching you. The devil was watching you. The devil was itching to grab you. Because you opened up that door. When you sparked it up. When you drank it up. When you popped it. You opened up that door. No wonder you've seen stars. No wonder you've seen stuff. You were seeing stuff nobody else seen. Because you opened up that door. You were seeing demons and devils and spirits. Tell your neighbor, close that door. Ain't you glad you closed that door? But somebody needs to hear that this morning. You need to hear this. Don't open up the door. Tell your neighbor, don't open up the door. Shut on the devil. Shut the door in his face. Slam it in his face. And say, devil, you ain't coming in. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Most High God. Somebody shout out early on. Another way you open up the door is through sexual immorality. Sexual immorality. Oh, the anointing of God. Some of you ladies need to quit opening up the door. Some of you men need to quit opening up the door. The Bible says, don't you know when you're united to a harlot, you become one? You become one? You know what that means? That means every person they've slept with, you've now slept with. That means every spirit they were exposed to, you've been exposed to now. That means that spirit of suicide is now on you. That spirit of depression is now on you. That spirit of addiction is now on you. That spirit of being molested as a kid is now on you. All them thousand spirits, like legion, come on somebody. Some people, you didn't have one, you didn't have two, you didn't have three, you didn't have 12, you had 1,000. For there were many. Don't look at me like that. Take off your wings. Take off your little halo. Don't act like you were innocent. Like you didn't hurt a fly. Oh, come on, somebody. Tell your neighbor, you member. You member. You member. You member. Don't act all sanctified and holy now. Come clean, dirty. Come clean. Come clean. Come clean. We just did communion. You confessed all that drama. Sexual immorality opens up the door. It opens up. This is why we got, listen, singles got to stay holy. Married couples got to stay holy. Don't be cheating on your wife. Don't be cheating on your husband. Come on, somebody, honor your vows. Like Pastor Josh preached this morning. Doors are open when you open up sexual morality. You even open up doors if you start locking tongues. Come on, somebody. You got the quickest tongue in the West. Come on, somebody. You're over there tongue fighting. Amen. You open up a door. You open up a door. The Bible says lay hands on no man quickly. Lay hands on nobody quick. In other words, be careful who you lay hands on. Oh, hello, somebody. Come on, somebody. Be careful, amen, because you don't know what spirit is being transferred. If it can happen with hands, it can happen with the tongue. Oh, hello, somebody. Don't even be playing footsies with people. Might catch athlete's foot. Fungus. Oh, you ain't hearing me. You gotta be careful. Don't give the devil permission to come into your life to mess with your stuff. I prayed too hard for my stuff. I gave a lot for my stuff. I served God too long for my stuff. I put in some work. I put in some prayer. I put in some tears. I preach. Fighting this morning. I'm fighting for your future. I said I'm going to war for your future. Devil, not on my watch. Not in my church. I'm going to equip God's people. I'm going to teach them how to guard themselves, how to guard their heart from getting hurt, from allowing the devil to steal everything that God has blessed them with. Next time you feel Satan is messing with you, and with your stuff, don't look to God like he did it. Like he did it. Huh? Why God me? No, check yourself. Examine yourself. Check yourself first. Because it might have been you that gave the devil permission. Now, what if? Ask your neighbor, what if? Ask the person behind you, what if? What if God has allowed Satan to touch your stuff? What if God has allowed Satan to touch you? Oh, God wouldn't do that. God loves me. I'm his favorite daughter. Huh? Job was his favorite son. Oh, I hope you got that revelation. Huh? What if God has allowed Satan to touch you and yours? To have access to your life? Let me use this example. Now, my wife, she likes to watch HGTV. Wave at me. Anybody like, any other wives like to watch HGTV? Okay, amen. HGTV, right? You like to dream, right? And you like to put hubby to work. Well, my wife likes to watch HGTV. She got me kind of into it, right? And on some of the shows, they show how a homeowner is either remodeling their house or selling their house. Yeah. On one show, it shows a competition-like theme. If the owner will keep or sell the house that they have after they see the changes and the updates on their home. Now, what I like about these shows is the day they call Demo Day.
Come on now.
Demo Day.
Demo Day?
Yeah. All right, you know, do you follow me?
Yeah.
Demo Day. Now, to me, it's kind of crazy that they would take a sledgehammer and begin to beat down their house. Yeah. It's kind of crazy to me that they'll take a sledgehammer and start knocking down walls, knocking down ceilings, knocking down floors. See, but the reason they're able to do that is because they know that by them tearing down the old, follow me now, that by them tearing down the old, they're preparing for the new. Somebody say the new. So what if God allows the enemy sometimes to take a sledgehammer to your old stuff? Oh, come on, somebody. I'm talking to some people here this morning that God has allowed the devil, and that you have allowed God to take the sledgehammer to some of the old stuff in your life, to some of the old habits in your life, to some of the old friends in your life, to some of the old people you used to associate with in your life. Have you ever allowed the sledgehammer to some old stuff? And what if God allows the enemy sometimes to take a sledgehammer to your old stuff so that he can prepare you for the new stuff he got coming your way? Oh, you didn't get that. I guess you ain't got no new stuff coming your way. But I feel like there's some new stuff coming my way. I feel like, listen, God is taking down some old things because he's getting ready. He's preparing. Oh, in the year 2020, he's about to tear down the old so that he can build up the new. Is God going to do a new thing in this new year? So next time you see the devil tearing up your stuff, don't get mad. Get glad. Because God is letting the devil do your dirty work. Some of you will catch that later. Yeah. Maybe if God is allowing the devil to tear up your life, to tear up your stuff, don't get mad, get glad, because God, all he's doing is allowing the devil to do your dirty work. Come on, somebody. Come on, he's saving you from breaking a sweat. He's saving your energy and your strength. Don't trip. Don't worry about it. Just sit back and watch God does what he does best. Come on, somebody. And what does he do best? What he does best is to take a man, come on, somebody, and turning him into a new creation in Christ Jesus. For if any man be in Christ, behold, the old is gone. Everything has become new. I don't know about you, but I'm a new man. I'm not the same man I was 20 years ago when Jesus first came into my life. That God allowed that hammer to come into my life and tear down the old. God started to build up the new. I wonder why I went to prison. I wonder why I got probation. I wonder why she left me. I wonder why they left me. I wonder why everybody walked out, but he walked in. I wonder why I was at the bottom of the totem pole. I wonder why my life came crashing down. Because God was tearing up the old. He was tearing up the old. And I don't know who I'm talking to this morning, but maybe you're here this morning. Maybe you're in the home. You don't like being in the home. It's not comfortable because it's God tearing up the old. Maybe you're going stuff in your marriage, in your singles, in your family. Things are coming down all around you. I'm here to tell you the old is coming down because God is about to build you up into a new man, a new couple in Christ Jesus. That's what God did with Job. That's what God did with Job. In Job chapter 1, verses 2 through 3. In Job chapter 1, verses 2 through 3, listen to everything that Job had. I mean, Job was blessed. We talked about this already. It says he had 7 sons and 3 daughters. And he owned 7,000 sheep. That's a lot of sheep. Somebody say sheep, fool. He had 3,000 camels. He had 500 yoke of oxen. And 500 donkeys. And he had a large number of servants. He was the greatest man among all the people of the East. And then we know what happened right after this. All that was taken away. His 7 sons and 3 daughters were killed horribly. All his sheep, all his donkeys were taken away. All his oxen were taken away. All his servants were killed. He was left with nothing. Nada. Zip. Zilch. Zero. But then in Job chapter 42. Listen, I don't know if I can preach the whole life of Job because it's a big book. But the end, the beginning and the end, ooh my God. You can get a lot. But in Job chapter 42, after everything that, listen, that Job went through, when you look at Job chapter 42, look at what he ended up with. Once God gave the devil permission to take the sledgehammer to Job, and everything was stripped away. Come on, somebody. Under the permission of God, under Satan had to get permission from God to touch Job and Job's stuff. Huh?
Well,
but remember, who has the final authority? Remember who gets the last laugh. Remember who gets the last word. Don't trip when things don't go right. Don't trip when stuff don't happen good. When the IRS comes after you. When the judge comes after you. When things fall apart. Don't trip. Know that God has the last word. And look at the last word that God had for Job in Job chapter 42. Job chapter 42 verses 12. It says the Lord blessed the later part of Job's life. More. Oh, I love the way that sounds. More. Come on, somebody. More than the former parts. Listen to this. He had 14,000 sheep. Before, he only had 7,000 sheep. He said he had 6,000 camels. Before, he only had 3,000 camels. He had 1,000 yoke of oxen. Before, he only had 500 yoke of oxen. And he said he had 1,000 donkeys. Before, he only had 500 donkeys. And then listen what he said. Listen, God gave him double for his trouble. Oh, it's the year of double. It's on the wall. It's not just there to look pretty. We're in 2020, baby. And I'm still believing God to reap double. God gave him double for his trouble. What trouble are you going through? What trouble are you going through? Huh? And it doesn't finish there. Listen. In verse 13 it says, and he also had 7 more sons and 3 more daughters. It don't stop there though. It says the first daughter he named Jemimiah, and the second Keziah, and the third Kareen Hapuk. Nowhere in all the land were there found women as beautiful as Job's daughters. And their father granted them an inheritance along with their brothers.
Amen.
You know that in the first portion of the scripture in chapter 1, it just said he had 7 sons and 3 daughters. That's it. Huh? It doesn't describe them. It doesn't say anything about his 7 sons and 3 daughters. But here in Job chapter 42, at the end of his life, or in the former blessing, it says that he just didn't have any type of daughter. It says that he had 3 beautiful daughters. The most beautiful daughters in all of the land. There was no other prettier women in all of the land. I'm here to tell you that God is going to bless. If the devil's messing with your life, and it's because God gave him permission, don't trip. Just sit back and enjoy the ride, because God is about to give you double for your trouble, because he has the last word. He is El Elyon. Job opened it up with double. It's still the year of double. But you might have a demo day this year. But you might, you see, it might be okay, right? You might be blessed right now. You're like riding on cloud nine. You might be okay.
Yeah.
You're like, man, I'm good. Huh? I'm good. I'm coming to church. I'm my relationship with God. I'm even praying, man. I'm even getting into my word. I think I'm getting close to God.
Yeah.
Huh? It's good. It's cool. Job was doing the same thing. But he still had a demo day.
Yeah.
I said he still had a demo day.
Yeah. Yeah.
Huh? You might still have a demo day in 2020.
Oh,
huh? But don't trip out. Don't trip off of the mess. Don't trip off of the mess from that demo day, because God is about to turn that mess into a message. You ain't hearing me. Because God has the final authority. He has the final word. Come on, somebody. He has that final word and that final authority. But because we have free will, if we want to be blessed like Job, we must allow God authority and rule over our lives. We must allow, listen, God has final authority in our lives. But if we want God to bless us, we got to give him that final authority. Don't get me wrong. If we don't give God that authority in our lives, that don't mean God can't have control over us. He can, but it's limited. Some Christians only give God limited access. Limited authority. Job gave God authority and rule over his whole life.
Yes, thank you, Lord.
And that's why he was blessed, my friend.
Yes.
Huh? If we want God's blessing in our lives, then God must have final and total authority in our lives.
Yes.
He must have authority in every area of our life. I don't know about you. I don't know one person that wouldn't want to be blessed like Job. When you read and study the life of Job, listen, everybody that reads that story says, man, I want to be blessed like Job. And I think we want to fall under that same category. But that only comes as we decide to give God full authority in our lives.
Yeah.
Does anybody want to give God full authority in their lives?
Amen.
You know what happens when you give God full authority in your lives?
Come on.
Three things happen. The first thing is you begin to sin less.
Yeah.
You begin to sin less.
Huh?
James 1:13 says, when tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. God doesn't ever lead people to sin. And so therefore, if we give God full authority of our lives, God ain't going to lead us to sin.
Yeah.
Huh? Our Father says, and lead us not into temptation. My pastor, Pastor Jesse, he paraphrased it. He added a part. He says, because we can lead ourselves there. And lead us not into temptation. Because we ain't got no problem leading ourselves there. God don't lead us into sin, my friend. We begin to sin less because God does not lead us into sin. And if he has final authority in our lives, then we are led away from sin and led to a life of righteousness. Because to sin is to die. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus. And when we give God final authority in our lives, we begin to sin less and we become more holy. We become more like God.
Amen.
The second thing that happens is that we gain spiritual authority. You know why? Because we're under God's authority. We're under his authority. In Matthew chapter 8, verse 8 through 10, it's a story of the centurion soldier. And the centurion soldier told Jesus, he says, Lord, I do not deserve to have you come under my roof, but just say the word and my servant will be healed. For I myself, check this out, am a man under authority. With soldiers under me. You know what he's saying? You know what he's saying? He's saying, just tell your angel. Wow. You ain't got to come to my house. You ain't got to go out of your way. Just say the word. I know an angel will be dispatched from heaven, touch my servant, and they will be healed.
Amen.
See, what this man knew, and listen to the tripped out. Jesus said, I have not seen so much faith in Israel than what I've seen in this centurion soldier.
Wow.
You know why? Because this centurion soldier understood what it meant to be under authority. Yeah. He understood that when Caesar said something, it's done. Yeah. I said, it's done.
Yeah.
Huh? It's like our president. If he says something, a push of a button, whoosh, boom, it's done.
Right.
Huh? That's the power of somebody that has power.
Yeah.
Imagine how much God has power.
Yeah.
Come on, I said El Elyon. I said the Most High God. You thought Hiroshima was something. You thought Nagasaki was something. You ain't seen nothing. God, come on. God with the dispatch of an angel. Jesus with the gift. This is why it's important that we pray, because we're not praying to a weak God. We're not praying to a weak Savior. We're praying to a God who has all authority over all the angels. And listen, when we pray, angels are sent down with those prayers to answer those prayers. When we submit to God's authority, we begin to gain authority.
Yeah.
See, spiritual authority comes by submitting oneself to God's authority. This is why it's important that you have a spiritual covering. You got to have a spiritual covering. Well, Pastor Josh preached in the first service, you got to find yourself a good church.
Yeah.
Victory Outreach Grand Prairie.
Yeah.
Come on, somebody. Listen, Victory Outreach, we provided a covering.
Right.
There's an international covering. Oh, I'm not up here doing my own thing.
Right.
I'm not over here telling you, call me pastor, and I ain't got a pastor.
Come on.
I got a pastor. I got a leader. Yeah. I got a discipler. Hey. I'm accountable to him.
Yeah.
Listen, I pay account to him, my friend. If he asks me a question, I answer. If he texts me, I text back. If he calls, I answer.
Hey. Come on, amen.
If he goes in order, I'm there.
Come on.
Huh? Because I understand he's my spiritual authority. Some Christians, they don't get this. And so they trip with leadership. They trip with leadership and messages like this. I don't, because I understand. I understand authority. And I understand that he is the supreme authority. And I understand that he not only is he the final word, but I understand that he has put the president in his place. I understand that he put the police in their place. I understand that he put leaders in their place, leaders in the church, bishops and apostles. I understand leadership, my friend. And listen, it is a good thing when you understand that, because all of a sudden, you know what happens? You gain more authority. Listen, and I'm not just talking about in the physical, but in the spiritual. You gain some authority, my friend. How are you going to expect an angel to obey you when you ain't doing no obedience yourself? He's going to look at you crazy. Oh, you ain't hear me this morning. You want demons to obey you? But the demon's like, you're living in rebellion. Oh, this is too much for you. I'm going to go on to point number three. The last one. We gain the favor of God. I said, we gain the favor of God. Huh? You know what? And this goes, I was going to use that verse Pastor Josh used. But it shows that he's under the covering, because we're connected. Huh? I was going to use that verse, but the Lord didn't let me use that verse, because that verse was for him. Psalms 5:12 says, surely, Lord, you bless the righteous. You surround them with your favor as with a shield. You bless who? The righteous. The righteous. Those who are in right standing with God. Those who are in right standing under that covering. There's a shield around you. And listen, not only is there a shield around you, but you got favor. Somebody who said this, favor ain't fair. Favor ain't fair. You trying to go get a house and trying to go get a loan, and you say, I ain't got good credit. I got bad credit. I ain't even got fair credit. Listen, who cares about your credit? I'm here to tell you, if you're right with God, come on, somebody. You don't need, come on. Favor ain't fair, my friend. You just step in and say, I'm a child of the living God, my friend. And El Elyon got the last word. El Elyon got the last word. Judge, El Elyon got the last word. Boss man, El Elyon, El Elyon, El Elyon, El Elyon.
Next
time you want, you need a raise, go ask for one. You need a raise, go ask for one. You need time off, go ask for it.
Come on.
Quit being scared. Come on. gonna fire me. No. You need the time off to go to war conference. Go ask for them. I remember when I used to work for this for Pharaoh. Come on, somebody. I didn't go up there all humbled. I came in with my head high. I said, I'm going to war conference in August. They said, well, they didn't even know how to respond. Like, well, let me check the calendar. I said, check it all you want. I'm going. Huh? I'm serious. I am serious. Let me see if you got days off and time off. Check it all you want. Make it happen. Come on, somebody. They had given me the keys to open up the building. Huh? I was the first one there opening up the building. I said, listen, I'm able to be a good worker for you because of the Christian man that I am. You lucky I ain't who I used to be. Because of who I was, I used to be. You gave me the keys. When you came in, there would be nothing left when you got here in the morning. Me. I said, pay me, my daddy, my father, El Elyon, the Most High, the Final Word God. Oh, he said, pay me, baby. The Christians, we got spaghetti spine. You don't even know how to receive this message. Some of you like, you don't even know how to receive this type of stuff. You know why? Poverty mentality. You know why? Slave mentality. Woo-hoo! We got a slave mentality. Still living in fear and bondage. The Bible says perfect love casteth out fear. All they can say is no. Huh?
Come on now.
But even if they say no, I ain't quitting. I ain't stopping. I'ma keep asking. I'ma be like that widow. With the unjust judge. Come on, somebody, you ain't hearing me. I'ma keep knocking. I'ma keep seeking. I'ma keep asking. You're gonna get tired of hearing from me. I'ma be bugaboo until that no turns into a yes because of El Elyon. Somebody say favor ain't fair. You remember Joseph and Pharaoh? Joseph had favor. God has the final word. He has the final authority in our lives. And in our lives. Just stand to your feet this morning. Remember this message. El Elyon. Most High God. Job understood this. This is why he didn't act like his wife. His wife didn't know El Elyon. But Job did. This is why he said, you're talking like a foolish woman. Shall we not receive, shall we receive good from the hand of the Lord and not bad? God has the final authority. If this is happening, it's because God knows and God allowed it to happen. And you say, well, I lost the loved one that I loved. Job lost 7 sons and 3 daughters that he loved.
Wow. Come on, Pastor.
Don't tell me God don't know about your loss.
Wow,
there's nothing that you can put up against this message. There's nothing that you can argue against God with. I don't care if you lose your house. I don't care if you lose your job. I don't care if your marriage starts to get shaky and rocky.
Yeah, sure.
God always has the last word.
Right.
Your marriage going through stuff. She wants to leave you. He wants to leave you. And you're like, no, I'm believing God. Keep believing God.
Right, right.
Because God has the last word. CPS trying to take your kids. They're trying to lock you up. I don't know what's going on in your life. It ain't happening at work. You ain't getting that raise. Money ain't coming in. El Elyon. El Elyon. You just gotta walk around all week saying El Elyon.
Come on up.
El Elyon. Like you used to when you were a kid. Ali Ali Oxen Free. El Elyon. El Elyon. Most High God, Most High God, my God who sits upon above the clouds, above the heavens, above the galaxies, above Jupiter and Mars and the sun. He sits upon high. Heaven is his throne, earth is his footstool. He is the Most High. He's the the Most High. If others below him say no, appeal to the Supreme Court. Are you hearing me? Appear to the Supreme God, the Supreme Judge. He's working in your favor. He's on your side. You got the best defense attorney, Jesus. He paid the price for you already. When he looks at you, he doesn't see your sins. He doesn't see your mistakes. He sees the blood of his son, Jesus Christ. There's power in the blood, and the blood never loses its power. And when he looks at that blood, he sees one thing. He says, it's been paid for, paid in full. They're my son, they're my daughter. They belong to me, and I get the last word in their life. Okay, maybe I'm allowing Satan to have his way a little bit, because he's been talking smack about him. He's been talking smack about me. He thinks he's all that in the bag of chips, but I'm gonna show him that I got some loyal people in VOGP. I got some loyal people in New Jersey. I got some loyal people down there. If they're not gonna bow the knee to Baal, they're not gonna worship the gods of this world, but they're loyal and they're faithful. And listen, it doesn't matter what they go through. They can lose their job, they can lose their health, they can get a little sick, come on somebody, but even if they get sick, they're still gonna worship God, they're still gonna read the word of God, they're still gonna pray, they're still gonna worship me like Job, even when he got sick, and even when God gave him permission to strike him with sickness, he still worshiped God, he still gave God glory. That's the type of son that God is looking for. That's the type of daughter that Elion is looking for, that people that will worship God, no matter what trial they go through, they're still going to give praise to the Most High God. If that's you, get out of your seat and come to these altars and say, God, you deserve all the authority in my life. You are my king. You have the final word. You are. you're facing this right now. I preached this morning, you're facing it. Either in your marriage, either in your finances, either at your job, either in your personal life. You've been getting some news that don't sound too good. You've been expecting some news and you're like a little anxious about it. And this message this morning just confirmed what you needed to hear about having that final authority, God having that final authority. And you needed to hear this more than anybody. You needed to hear this. And I want to pray for you, because God's given you a word of knowledge this morning. And the word is this: to remember that He has the final say-so. He has the final say-so. And listen, He's going to work in your favor. It doesn't matter how it looks, what report you get from the doctor or from whomever. He has the final authority. He has the final word, and it's going to be in your favor. That's a word. It's a word. If that's for you, that's for you, I'm going to ask you to lift your hands. Lift your hands. Look at that. As you lift your hands, remember El Elyon. Father, in the name of Jesus, I lift up every single person here. And I pray, God, that you would show them your favor. Teach them to align themselves under your authority. Help them not to trip on the mess that's going to begin to happen around them. The mess that's happening around them right now. There's mess taking place. Right now, it seems messy around you. Marriage is messy. Family's messy. Finances are messy. It's just messy. God says, don't trip on the mess. Don't trip on the mess. He's going to clean it up. He's going to clean it up. And your ladder is going to be greater than your former. Your ladder end is going to be greater than your former. I want you to put your hands down. I want to pray for those now. You're facing this in your finances. In your finances. In your finances. I want to pray for you. Maybe whatever it is, financially coming in, paying bills, your house, your car, whatever it is. Maybe you're trying to get a house, trying to get a car, trying to get some. You're facing this in your finances. If that's you, I want you to lift your hands. Lift your hands. You're facing this in your finances. God wants me to tell you that He's going to bless you. He's going to bless you. He's going to bless you. That window that you've been waiting for to open, it's going to open. It's going to open. This is a word of knowledge. You have to be ready for it. Some people, the window opened and they missed it. They missed it. God is saying, when the window opens, you're going to know it's Him. And faith without works is dead. You're going to have to jump through it. You're going to have to jump through it. And as you jump through it, you're going to see an explosion take place. You're going to see the floodgates of heaven open up upon your life. And what's been delayed is about to come.
what's been delayed is about to come. You got back blessings coming your way. Okay, I don't think you understand. You got back blessings coming your way. Blessings that have been blacked up. You don't believe me? It's in the Bible. The Bible says, I think it was when Ezekiel, Jeremiah began to pray. It says that the angel, but it says the prince of Persia withstood him. The archangel Michael came with the prayer request, and he was delivering it to the earth. And it says the prince of Persia delayed him. That prince is representative of demonic activity in the heavens. Sometimes that's what happens. There's a delay in your blessing because there's demonic forces that are fighting. The devil don't want you blessed. Didn't we learn that from Job's life? The devil didn't want him blessed. Because when you're blessed as a Christian, you're letting your light shine to the world. And you're being an example. But listen, God don't want us Christians to be broke folk. It doesn't mean that we have to be rich and millionaires. But he wants us to be blessed. And so we as a people, we got to learn to jump into those windows of opportunity. God's going to bless you. God's going to bless you. You got to receive that word. Say this with me. If this is you financially, say, Lord,
Lord,
I receive that word.
I receive that word.
I will be blessed.
I will be blessed.
I am blessed.
I am blessed.
I have your favor upon my life. Because I've submitted myself
under your authority.
And Lord Jesus,
I thank you
that my ladder
will be greater
than my former. I believe that with all my heart.
I believe
you're going to give me double
for my trouble.
I receive it
in the name of Jesus.
Now, if you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you want to give your life to Jesus. Anybody here, just raise your hand. You want to give your life to Jesus. God bless you. God sees your hand. Anybody else, God bless you. Say this prayer. Say, Jesus,
come into my life.
Be my Lord and be my Savior. I surrender my life to you in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Give the Lord some praise this morning. Listen, for the rest of you, whatever it is that you may be facing, remember El Elyon.
Yes. Yes.
He has the last say so. Amen. If you're dealing with the sickness in your body, don't trip. Don't even get scared of this coronavirus stuff. We're the children of the living God.
Right. Yes.
El Elyon got the last word.
Yeah.
Amen. Yes. El Elyon got the last word. Amen. Stay under God. Amen. No matter what comes your word, no matter what comes your way this week, remember El Elyon.
Yes.
Because we're going to go through stuff. But just remember El Elyon. He's fighting for us. God is fighting for us. God is fighting for us. You believe that?
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Well, I hope you were blessed this morning. Amen. Give the Lord some praise here this morning.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Amen. We're going to close in a word of prayer. Amen. Father, we thank you this morning for your presence and the Holy Spirit. We thank you, God, for everything you did this morning, God. I pray that you would continue to move in our lives. We love you in Jesus' name. Everybody says,
amen.
Amen. God bless you. You are dismissed.
Keep It's weird. Everybody been telling me, you need to do a song about Disney.